Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. This week we're going to review Top Gun Maverick for you. My name's Wayne.
Top Gun colon Maverick, colon I believe. My, my name is Paul. Let's get into it then for this brand new Lego sequel, requel.
Oh no, it's a sequel.
Straight sequel?
What's a Lego sequel?
That's where you bring back original characters and put them in with a whole bunch of new characters and continue the story.
That's just a sequel.
It's Scream. It's like Scream.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so this one is an action drama directed by Joseph Kosinski, written by Aaron Kruger, Eric Warren Singer, and Christopher McQuarrie.
Christopher McQuarrie is the man.
From a story by Peter Craig and Justin Marks. It is based on characters created by Jim Cash and Jack Epps Jr. It stars, of course, the production or the producer himself, Tom Cruise.
D to the C.
Miles Teller, Jennifer Connelly, John Hamm, Glenn Powell, Lewis Pullman, Ed Harris, and Val Kilmer returning as Iceman.
Ice.
131 minutes in length. The budget, $170 million reported. Too early to talk about the box office because it's only been out not even one day in the States at the time of recording. So they are predicting that this will be a big, big hit. Mm-hmm. Now, Wayne, we got to see this at different times.
Yes. Paul went to the awesome advanced screening.
I did.
That I could not go to because of COVID.
Which was a real shame.
It sucked. I was so looking forward to it.
Huge thanks to Natalie.
Natalie Cameron from Paramount Pictures.
Paramount, representing thereof. Thank you so much for the invitation. Wayne's obviously very sorry, missed out. I was very fortunate then and got to take a friend to the show. Christian.
Tell me about it.
You walked big, huge, massive stand-up posters you could get. You know, photos.
Oh, man.
And of course, I had the photos there. Wayne's been in the local rag a couple times of late.
Yes, with Paul once.
Once, and then
once with another person.
With someone he was cheating on me with.
That's right.
And all the photos are there. Then you hear.
Oh, Phantom Mizzle. Yeah.
Phantom Air. And you walk around the corner. There's a dude there playing guitar.
Live.
Plugged into an amp live.
He's playing a riff.
Yep.
That's the shit. That's
and then,
gangster.
You know, normally you go get a little bit of food and normally you're lucky if it's a little bit of popcorn and a drink. It was just lovely that they put
wicked.
Anything on it all, at all.
Wicked.
But this occasion, they had like hot little sliders.
You had sliders?
Had sliders and popcorn and a beer or a wine of your choice.
Holy shit.
It was all the stops. So
that's
I've got to say,
balls,
one of the biggest.
You can tell when a studio knows they've got a winner.
Yeah.
They're like, fuck it. Let's throw some money.
And because COVID, all the COVID relaxations have now happened where we live. It was full. This is as close to a full screening for a film that we've been to and as long as I can remember.
Yeah, it's been a while, eh?
Yeah, so there was a real atmosphere, a real buzz to it. Dudes were wearing bloody Maverick bomber jackets in there and they weren't like dressed up people. They're just people who wore that shit to the screening. There was a real buzz. Now, so without...
Love that.
Rubbing your nose in it at
please,
all.
Please, please rub.
That added to the occasion, I have to say. It was in the big, big, huge cinema at Whitford's, so... Yeah, it was packed, it was buzzing, and it was quite the night.
Yeah, man. All right, cool. That must have helped, man.
So, yeah, thanks again. Now, look, that said, we need to get to the film proper. Wayne, give us the plot synopsis.
Okay, so check it out. It's been 30 years since Pete Mitchell, Maverick dude, tongued Kelly McGillis.
Call sign Maverick.
That's right. So it's been 30-some years, and now he is a... cool as hell test pilot in the Mojave Desert in California, and he tests big ass blackbird looking fucking like planes and all kinds of shit. It's pretty gangster and it's pretty courageous. But then he does sort of like
hear Wayne's erection as he speaks.
But then he does like piss off his superiors because you know it's Maverick, right? And then he gets busted down to the side, what it basically, and has to train these new Top Gun pilots. He has to go back to Top Gun
on a deadly mission.
That's right, because they got to bust this mission, and it's only these folks, and they can't use drone planes, like which is a theme of this film. Like you know, there's very few pilots left, you know, and so they have to use actual pilots to get to this weird thing.
On that note, the original script for this was all about replacing pilots with drones. So that little sub thread was the whole script.
Good, because I was actually wondering. I was thinking that. I'm like, no one really uses pilots anymore. So that would be a cool thing. But obviously, this is where they left it up. So that's what it's about, basically.
It is. Now, the critics, the bona fide ones.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, this has 97% approval rating of 306 critics' reviews with an average score of 8.2 out of 10.
This is tremendous, no?
That is massive. On Metacritic, which uses the weighted average, has a score of 78 out of 100 based on 60 critics indicating generally favorable reviews. Audiences polled by CinemaScore so far have given the film a rare average grade of A+. So there we are. That's what we're up against as we talk about Top Gun, Cole and Maverick Wayne. What did you think of this one?
Okay. I immediately shit my pants when I walked in and it started because...
So did you miss the start of the movie while you cleaned yourself up?
I was. No, I just watched and wiped. But it... Hey, man, don't fuck with the bull. You get the horns. So they made it feel... The opening is basic. It made
it's
it feel...
the same bloody thing.
It's the same. They basically replicated the shots.
Call it a spoiler, if you will. It's a very, very minor spoiler. Yeah. The very opening bit. They actually put up both Bruckheimer and Don Simpson.
Yes.
It's the same crawl.
What's going on?
Well,
Simpson ain't around.
They are playing on your member berries. They are hitting so hard on your nostalgia in this opening 5 minutes of this movie.
But is that what the production company is called? It can't be, can it?
It was Bruckheimer Simpson. That's what it always was. That's what who made Top Gun. And Simpson died in 1992.
Yes, and now Bruckheimer just says Bruckheimer on all his new productions.
Not for this one.
But they went back.
Yeah.
But that sounds weird, like a legal issue if he just moves another company. I don't know. Who knows? But it was cool. Yeah, I did notice that.
Clearly they had permission to do so from a Simpsons estate or whatever
it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
It's a homage, right?
Well, that's the thing. You might think to yourself, oh, is that a cheap play, basically reproducing that thing? Maybe, but it fucking worked. You know what I'm saying? I was sitting there going, oh my God. I was literally like, yeah, member berries were twinkling, shall we say. So that's already cool. I will say this about the film. Yes, it's relying heavily upon your love of the original, but so what? What else is a sequel supposed to do, right?
Mm.
So I have no problem with that. It's cool to see Maverick the way he is now, where he's like, he's still got his... irreverence for authority. He's still got the fire. He's just older now. The way he is now.
We know what that's like.
Oh, yeah. It really resonates with me as an old fart myself. Yeah. So that's really cool. There, I would say probably basically, ultimately, this is fun. I thought I had a lot of fun with this. Yep. I remember grabbing the seat of the knee of the person next to me, like this, you know, kind of thing. And the throwbacks and the callbacks that they use, they're not subtle if you really know the first film, but there's a lot of little words that they use here and there. And it's just kind of cool. So yes, I loved it, Paul. I loved it. What did you think?
Fair enough. Look, I'm going to make several big calls during this review. So strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen, not just because this is a film about fighter pilots doing fighter pilot-y things. First, big, big call. I don't like the first one that much.
Are you kidding me?
I rewatched it for this purpose. And it reminded me of all the things I thought were bog standard average about Top Gun. Top Gun, you put your nostalgia aside, is a really average film with some technically well put together sequences.
Okay, hang on a sec. Before you do this, all right? It was, what, 1986?
Six, yep.
Back then, this is what an amazing film looked like. It had like the scene where he takes off from the carrier and they had dogs walking around in Navy. And no one made a movie like this before.
Can we just rewind that sentence?
That's right.
It took off on the carrier and we had dogs walking around in the Navy.
Yes. Because they lived on that Navy boat, the crew, they had dogs on board.
Do you know how hard it was, Paul, to get dogs to walk on a ship?
Hey, it's fucking sweet, man. Like, if you had to play time on a ship, like, you want some dogs. Anyway, the point
people are stepping in the dog shit all the time.
Well, it was kind of cool, man. And also, the Tom Cruise of the original isn't the Mission Impossible Tom Cruise who has to do everything himself and almost die every movie, right? So they didn't put him all in them shots. However, it was a beautiful movie, man.
Look, there's nothing wrong with the way that film looks. But in terms of the storyline, which is very simple.
Yeah, but it's right? The 80s. The 80s was simple.
In terms of how one-note Maverick's character is, very how terrible the romance is between he and Kelly McGillis.
Let's talk about zero
chemistry. In terms of the fact that we don't get any sense of any threat until the unnamed nation, i.e. the Soviets.
Yes.
At the very end of the film, suddenly there's a mission. So what I'm trying to say is this. I don't have any reverence for the first one. I was reminded very powerfully of that rewatching the film. Therefore, my second big call, Top Gun, Cole and Maverick is a better film than Top Gun.
Yeah, I'll go on.
Top Gun, Cole and Maverick hangs together and does it. Look, it should be. It's 36 years later this film was released. It is a much better film in almost every capacity,
except
arguably some of the iconic imagery that comes from the first one. The aerial sequences in this, the fighter sequences in this film are exponentially better.
Dude, there's a scene in it where I was like looking at the screen going, look at all this, like, it's literally like fireflies around the sky.
You
and
are
explosion,
there.
Explosion, explosion. Yeah,
the
you
last
are there.
Film is hampered by being shot in 1986. So they didn't have the technology. They
it
had cameras everywhere. They worked really hard to put you in the middle. Cruise insisted upon it. Kaczynski insisted upon it. And it feels like it. You must see this film on the big screen. Yes. Don't wait for home. Don't wait to see it on your 75-inch TV screen or anything there under. If you've got a big theater, sure, maybe you'll get some of the effect. But on the biggest screen you could possibly see, we don't have IMAXs here in Perth, so I don't know. But if I could, I would. I'd see this film in IMAX.
I went XC. I went Titan XC. So I got like, but I would agree. That is, this is all about that. You want the sight, you want the sound, you want all of that shit. The thing I read about this film is that the director had to, literally the actors had to turn the camera on themselves because once they were in the air, there's no director, right? Yep. So they just had to know the scene, perform the scene while the whoever was in front flying was actually doing all the G's and stuff. So he didn't know he had anything until he saw the dailies once they landed.
It's great.
Well, amazing to shoot like this.
That's... Again, good faith, and it works. You really feel like it. Like I said, the aerial sequences are incredible. The storyline does a good job of calling back to the original and enhancing upon it. I'll be vague for spoilers until we get there.
Yep.
I thought that was good. Gives a bit of much more depth to Maverick as a character, which really, really worked. And yeah, look, there's a romance subplot, which isn't necessary. It's still better than what happens with Kelly McGillis in the original film because it's Jennifer Connelly. And Jennifer Connelly is about 73 million times more attractive, approximately. Not now, but I'm talking even then.
All right, listen, as a man who you know, and we all talk about this a lot, I tend to like the older ladies. I've always liked older women. Okay, me in 1986 went, she's too old for him. When I saw that, and it wasn't that, and I didn't mind that. I understand what's happening here because Charlie in the Top Gun was like an official.
She was an instructor, right?
She wasn't in the Navy, so you don't salute her, which is what Tom Skerritt said, but she is some sort of consultant to the Navy that the Pentagon or whoever listens to.
Yeah, she's training them. She's one of the...
Right, so she had to be older than Maverick, and he would have been like 26 back then or something, right? So she had to be at least 30, but I think she was about...
A whole 4 years.
I reckon she's... No, but I reckon...
In Wayne's World, that is like chump change.
But I reckon Kelly McGillis was at least 36 when she was doing that movie.
Could be, I don't know.
So it did look disparate.
And they didn't approach her and they didn't ask her. And the sad fact of the matter is, not sad, the realistic...
So looks like
she has
now.
Aged normally, yes, Tom like Cruise a normal has not.
Exactly. I saw a meme the other day which had him and her and like now saying, is it still too late to change to Scientology? But, okay, so that aside. By the way, the love interest, the Jennifer Connelly character...
Yeah.
That was quite cursory and quite wholesome, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, I think there's a big push away at the moment in big budget tentpole films, and this is one of the only ones we're getting in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Steer clear, even in PG-13 films, from sex. And I don't know.
It was a very sterile, like...
Yeah, very.
Not sterile, but like...
I'm not saying we needed to see everyone's gear out and whatever else and tackle out and breasts out and what shape of Jennifer Connelly's pubes are in. but I am saying, like, it's very tame.
Well...
We can talk about blowing people up into smithereens, but we can't show people having normal fucking sexual relations. I just don't like this fucking...
To be fair, seeing like a dick and stuff is more offensive than a plane blowing up. Do you know what I mean?
But which one is more? Exploded, which one is more normal?
Well, the dick.
The dick out. The dick. Thank you. That's my point. You're right. We should be normalizing these things.
Oh, look! If we were Sweden, all right, there would just be cocks everywhere. All right, don't even worry about it. Right?
That's why Sweden.
Sweden is like that, man. There's a famous statue in Sweden where of a kids that all go see it, and the statue is all people copulating.
Good.
Good. Put the dick out there.
I'm not
put
saying
the murder
kids
out
should
there.
Copulate it. I'm saying that.
No, I'm just saying be open about
normal.
Sexuality.
Yes.
Absolutely. All right. So that aside.
Solving all the world's problems on the countdown.
Well, this is why. What I like about it is that although Pete Mitchell, Tom Cruise, Maverick is older now, he has maintained his charisma, and that's very important for this character.
Well, of course.
Okay.
Something that's really worthwhile emphasizing now before we move into spoilers, as long as this is going on, is
go
that
on.
This film was shot in 2018 to 2019.
Right.
Right. So we're talking 4 years ago the film started being shot.
Mm.
It got delayed by having to do some more complicated shooting for the aerial fight sequences.
Okay.
And then COVID came, and they delayed, and it's released now. So we're actually seeing Tom Cruise before you can really see him start to age. Whereas if you saw the original or the initial trailer they've dropped for next year's Mission Impossible 8.
You think he looks a lot older?
He's absolutely aged. Like, he's finally hit that precipice and he's dropping over the other
side.
Yeah,
when he was like almost 60. He's finally, this guy stayed.
So I think
off
this was shot when he was 54. He's 58 now. That's my vague memory of that. I could be off by a year or two. And Jennifer Connelly, I think, has just turned 50, 51, maybe 52 now herself.
Yeah.
So she was basically our age at the time this was shooting.
God, she's so beautiful. Oh, 50 God. Something. God. All right. That
doesn't make any fucking sense.
Oh, no. Me. I mean, I suppose if there are humans on the planet that walk and look like this at that age, they're going to be actors. Okay? So I understand that. By the way, saw a video of Sheryl Crow on the...
How does this relate?
She's hot too and she's 60. I'm just saying.
Back to the film. Right. The music credited to Harold Faltermeyer, Lady Gaga, and Hans Zimmer.
Yes, now I thought Paul would get...
How is this a dream team? Oh, my God.
No, Paul would have some level of vein penile erection.
I went straight to iTunes, Apple, because we got to see the advanced screening.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a soundtrack. One of the fucking tracks was licensed for release here in Australia, or maybe two, at like third. I'm like, this is bullshit. Can I have the fucking soundtrack, please?
Well,
so Paul, I haven't gone back and checked since the opening date.
Yeah, you also live in an age where you don't have to wait for shit. You know what I'm saying?
I do if I want it on my fucking phone, you know?
Yeah. Okay. No, so that's cool. Since we're talking about sexuality.
We're talking about music, but all right.
No, but sexuality before.
Before.
Yeah. All right, fine. Segging back into sexuality, and not really sexuality.
Seamless. That was a beautiful segue. No one noticed at all.
I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, or if I should talk about it, but...
Then don't.
Okay, fine.
Let's just hold it. In fact, I think we've got there. I enjoyed this movie. I thought it was pretty damn good. It's not all that. Like, to hear it's A+, to hear that it's 97, I don't think it's as good as that. I have some genuine problems with the movie, which I want to talk about in spoilers because it does get into very spoiler territory. But overall, absolutely worth seeing. Go and see it.
I know what you mean where you say, oh, it's not all that because the story is relatively predictable and so on and so on and so on.
Very much so.
All right. But what this A+ represents is how well it connected with an audience that it needed to. I think that's what it is.
Yep.
So I agree with you. Yeah, I'm happy. I'd be one of those guys going, yep, give it A.
All right then. Well, without any further ado, there we are. Big recommend from the countdown. Let's get into spoilers because it's not been going long enough on the other side of this.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, and the truth is that they've done a really good long-term sequel. Call it a straightforward sequel, call it a legacy sequel, call it a requel. This is a good film.
You know what I like about it is all the things that they tried to recreate, they put a twist on it and the twist was fine. So for example...
Not all of them.
Well, to me, all right, here's the things that I hear, right? Here's the things that I... And there are odd, there are very deep cuts in here. For example, Jennifer Connelly plays an admiral's daughter.
Yes.
That he bangs.
Yes.
In the original Top Gun, we talk about how Maverick bangs the admiral's daughter. There's a little... That's how deep those cuts go.
Okay,
right?
Sure.
Yeah. Those things happen great. Now,
is that bar the same bar from the original?
No,
it's not. Okay.
Well, no. Oh,
I couldn't remember, to be honest.
Actually, it's in Miramar, so it might... it's a good question. Mm. I don't think so. Someone out there is probably going to correct us.
All right, correct us, please. Well, correct Wayne, because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. So, let's talk about the beach scene, okay? Let's talk about the beach scene. All right, now, listen up, people.
Okay, you can talk about the beach scene, and I want to go back and talk about some of the things that we've glossed over to get to that point.
Oh, no, sure. Oh, well, we don't have to go in order, but I'm just saying. All right, so the beach scene... I'm sitting to myself going, well, we know there's going to be a beach, like volleyball scene. I thought it would be volleyball. They've turned it into football.
Better.
Right?
Better decision.
Better. They can't just do a straight volleyball scene, okay? They had to make it just, well, here's a similar scene, but they're doing something different. Now, I'm sitting there going, Tom, I know that you're a Scientologist. I know you're superhuman. And I know that up to this point, you refuse to age. However.
Wayne's basically saying.
You know I am, Paul. Mm-hmm. And now... How badass are you? Are you going to go up against these young actors who all have the bodies of gods?
Greek Adonises.
My God, right? Some of them, that dude, like, who's the smarmy guy?
Yeah, the Iceman equivalent.
The Iceman equivalent, right? Yeah. Hangman or Ditchman or whatever, right? Or, I don't know, right? That motherfucker has the most punchable face I've seen in many years. He's actually got smug written on his face. He's a good-looking guy, but he's got an annoyingly like kind of thing going on. I'm like, that motherfucker needs to get punched, right? And of course he's the Iceman. That motherfucker is also ripped beyond reproach, right? Yeah, I'm like, goddamn.
Yeah, he's looking...
So Tom Cruise then is playing footy with these guys, and he's looking okay. They're smart to actually sort of cut pretty quick around him. But that's some balls, man. If you're pushing 50-something, right? And then you're like, yeah, let's go up against these whatever 20-ish, whatever guy-looking dudes.
That was Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell, okay. So I admire the balls on that front. So I'm very impressed with that. So I liked that scene and the fact that they didn't make it too the same, but gave you the note you wanted.
Yeah, look, I thought it was fine.
And they did that a lot in this film,
Well, exactly. They're going back, they're revisiting things. I mean, the opening of the film is basically...
It's got Danger Zone playing, so they're just like...
It's just shot for shot.
They're balls out on that. We're actually going to play Danger Zone, so fucking just take that. Yeah, you know?
Here we go, bam. My first and biggest... Not biggest, my first problem with the film is... Okay, so Miles Teller plays Rooster.
Rooster.
I.e. Goose's son.
Goose's son.
How old is Goose's son in the original film? give or take.
Now, there is a scene where they're playing the piano. Looks like, yeah,
5, 6?
Oh, I don't know how kids are older. I guess he's sitting
maybe
up.
Maybe four.
Maybe young. 3, 4, I would have thought.
I don't think it's 3.
I don't know about kids.
Yeah, yeah. She's so 4 or 5.
Okay, let's go
with that. This film set 36 years after.
He should be 40.
Yeah. It doesn't work.
I didn't even think about it, man.
And they make a point of saying he's older because Maverick held up his application for four years. But that's 36.
So do you think Miles Teller can't pass for 36?
Miles Teller was older than I looked at him and he's like 34. So
oh, shit, I thought he was older.
No, I didn't. Okay. So
actually, that is age. He should be a bit older.
If you're the elite of an academy, that you're not 30 fucking 5 years old.
What if he's
in his? You know, therefore, all the rest of them are 31. No.
What if he's?
They're
39?
All going to be.
What if he's 39?
How old was Tom Cruise in 86?
In my head, I want to say 26, but I don't know.
25, exactly. 25, right? So we're out by about 6 to 8 to 10 years.
You're right.
Here.
By the time you're 10
it's
years old,
it's a little
on.
Technical, but and maybe this is partially explained by how long we've delayed this film, but they're deliberately saying this is 36 years later. Okay, so bam. That's an issue. And whole time. Miles Teller. So, Rooster, I know you miss your dad.
Yeah.
I don't really understand this sort of connection he has. So, Maverick's become his surrogate father. Maverick's trying to stop him getting into the Navy and the air. And
at the request of his mother.
Yep. Right. And so, Meg Ryan, we never seen the film. She apparently died. There's one line throwaway about that. Doing the noble sacrifice of, I'm not putting it on the mum. I'm not going to tell him that.
That's right. He resents me. Why should he resent her?
That's a lovely line. I really like that.
Really, really good.
I'm not sure I buy Rooster completely basically becoming his dad by wearing Hawaiian shirts and having the same mustache.
Okay, so
I'm like, come on, you've gone too hard.
Now
here.
We have what we like to call license. Okay. If he's Goose's son, look, I don't think he's sporting that bullshit mustache either this day and age, right?
No fucking
Miles
way.
Miles, like, you look like shit with that mustache, yep. Miles. But, you know, they've got to emulate it. So if you're making a movie, Paul, there's no way you don't do that.
No, we're going over the top.
Okay,
I disagree.
Hang on a sec. Let's say this,
it's
Paul.
A problem.
Let's say I'm the director, and I'm like, yeah, listen, I'm not going to do anything hokey like make the kid look exactly like Goose. And then the studio guy comes along and goes, hey, fuckface. There will not be a movie unless he looks exactly like Goose and plays the same
totally
piano
disagree.
Song.
I disagree. We don't. We just need the information.
I reckon
playing Great Balls of Fire 76 times in a row.
Okay, so here's
fucking bullshit.
Here's what's happening. That's his dad's favorite song. He obviously learned it because whatever, and they be, you know,
play it once and move on to something else.
Well, the idea. I think the bigger problem I have is that in a bar,
everyone's
like, "Great Balls,
Great Balls."
I know. Everyone's like, "Dude, we were born in like 2000." Exactly. You know, or whatever, right? Or in the late 90s, we don't know this song and we really, really don't know it. So there's not like there's a bar of people going, I know Jerry Lee Lewis really well. Mm-hmm. Not really. No. Not really. I know people who are 27 that don't know who fucking Maroon 5 is.
Who?
Exactly. So yeah, I know. That's fine. But you know what? Again, it had to be in the film so I could have the moment, right? I'm fine with it.
For me, it loses marks for this over strong emphasis. What I do want to say, though, I think it's time appropriate to sort of go. We haven't just got all these white dudes now who are fucking with the occasional African American.
There was one black guy in Top Gun
in the original. As I'm saying, with the occasional African American sprinkled through. Now we have women and we have Latino people and we have a better representation, and that's good and appropriate. I'm glad that they went there.
There's no way they wouldn't go there. It's a movie in this day and age.
I know why we have the Jennifer Connelly scenes because she's beautiful. But do we really, like, they add almost nothing to this movie?
I had the very same thought, a sentiment in my head where I'm like, you know, so what's with Jennifer Connelly? It's nice to look at her, and I do believe I enjoyed the movie more, and I'll tell you why. Not specifically for her directly.
It gives, when he goes out there and almost dies, it gives him more emotional weight than just, he is a talented pilot who gives his life.
That's right. You need someone to love him and miss him if he goes down to give him peril.
Again, I get it.
But. I don't think that is definitely a reason, but this is the reason.
Okay.
The reason is you need a romantic lead, okay? Miles Teller ain't fucking anyone. The lady pilot ain't fucking anyone. No one wants to fuck
Iceman
Face.
Why couldn't
they
fuck each other? Iceman Face.
because
Hangman, you were right. Hangman, the first time.
Yeah, but they could have fucked each other, but it would have completely gotten in the way of the movie. The whole thing about Miles Teller is he needs to be like, yo, this guy, he stopped me from getting into the Navy, and I hate him, and I think he killed my father, and I kind of blame him for killing my father, even though yada yada. That's how this shit is. If Miles Teller's fucking someone, now I have to care about a whole different relationship. No, you came here for Top Gun and Maverick, and he's the one who has to get fucked, all right?
All right, let's talk about some other bits and pieces. I understand what you're saying, and I concur. Charles Parnell as Warlock.
Which maybe was
he? MVP, Warlock. The John Hamm second in command.
Oh, yeah.
That guy?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Just really you liked like him. Really liked his reactions because he's on Maverick's side, yeah, but can't be too exactly. on his side. And some of the, unfortunately, it's too long since I've seen the film. I can't remember. He said one or two lines. I literally burst out laughing. And I wasn't alone. Lots of people laughed in the cinema. His comic timing, it was just a great little, not everyone in the brass hates you, man. That was an important character. Obviously, other than Iceman, which we now need to get to.
Yes.
What did you think of this?
All right.
So we know that Val Kilmer has throat cancer or esophageal cancer. I'm not sure which one it is. And he can't speak except through a voice modulation.
Yep, the little thing, yep.
So how are they going to work him back in the film? And it was all done by text early, and he'd sort of got him a job when he was going to be grounded by Ed Harris's character in a pretty amusing, interesting, entertaining start to the film. He's flying a stealth bomber or whatever it is. Not
by the way, Ed Harris being in this film, I had to search, was he in the original? Because it's just the kind of movie Ed Harris would be.
No, but it's a lot like the bald dude.
It's like the bald guy.
He's on the carrier. He'll be
flying rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong. That's that guy. It. He's like, yeah, exactly.
So they come together. It's got an emotionally charged scene, which is interesting because it's all built on, they get one begrudging moment of respect. And there's a great payoff to that where he's like, who's the better pilot? This is a nice moment. Let's not ruin it. Great line.
Absolutely great line. And when they hugged,
I felt it.
All right, I actually went, oh, like that. Okay. Because you don't see those guys hug until the first time when they hugged
at the end of the first film.
Revelry. But this time it was like, hey, shit's fucked up.
Yep.
We're old now.
Do you think he needed to die off camera and just have that scene? Did it add really much of anything?
I think him dying...
Other than John Hamm now being able to take over and we get the great scene where fucking Maverick just goes, I'm going to show you how this is done and does the practice version.
No, you know what? Yes, he did have to die so that we could have that John Hamm scene. Otherwise, why is he off the program? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just like, nope, you're done. Boom, out you go. And then it could have been,
Iceman, pull some strings, but that's it. Now you need to impress John Hamm because John Hamm's in charge and you know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to kill him.
But killing him gave a beat to the movie where you could, oh my God, here's a moment.
Well, he's the only death, right?
Once again, Paul Prezul, everyone has to die for a good movie.
Top Gun, they kill some random others in the squad.
This
one, everybody survives. I was a bit down on that too.
Did they?
No one dies in the original. Having rewatched it recently.
Except Goose.
I sort of can't remember the bar. Oh yeah, Goose. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, in the final battle at the end, no one dies.
Yeah, and I'm having no problem with that.
In that film, someone gets blown up. I can't remember which two it is.
He actually ejects in the original film.
And they get away?
Wolfman? I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, I don't think anyone died in that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I stand corrected then.
It might be a Lewis Gossett Jr. Iron Eagle type death where he died but then he came back. That kind of thing. So
Iron Eagle 2, the search for more iron.
Chaffee! All right, so that's why I didn't have any problem with no one dying because this was... Let's talk about...
It's very obvious. Everything, the way it all plays out, very obvious. However, great.
Yeah.
The aerial sequences are great. The action sequences are great. I enjoyed them all. I love that Maverick comes back to die to save Rooster. Then Rooster swings back around and shoots the fucking things where Maverick saves him. And then he runs up to him and pushes him. Why did you come back?
Mm-hmm.
I fucking saved your life, man. He's done so fucking.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Dude, what was cool was me. You know how I talked about this before, how I love the F-14, how it's a beautiful plane and all that sort of shit.
That one now takes on these.
Oh my God. No, even at the beginning when John Hamm says they even have some old like hardware like F-14s. And I was like, he's going to fly it, right? And I'm like, okay. So from then on, I knew exactly what was going to happen in the movie.
And that hit your breath is exactly what you thought it was.
I didn't have a problem. Obviously, I knew the entire plot. Well, of course, he's going to fly the mission. Then he's going to get shot down. Then he has to steal F-14 and fuck off, right? Yep. So I'm like, good,
and
do it.
It was very obvious that Hangman would be there at the end to save them, all that stuff. And that does knock the score down a little
bit. I didn't know
that
Maverick and Goose's son would fly again. I didn't think that, and I was happy when I knew it was going to happen. So I was like, oh, okay, good. Those guys can do like, you know, was it enemy, I think, was it Fire Down Below? No. Whatever that Owen...
Fire up. Do not sully this film.
I will not. Owen Wilson
by mentioning that man's name.
Behind Enemy Lines.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, they get someone to steal him. Wow. Yeah. So... So I like all that shit too. That was pretty cool. I mean, it was very easy for them to steal that F-14. You didn't have to refuel it or anything.
That's fine.
I'm fine with it.
And again, I think the best thing in this terms of this plot of this film is that we set up the mission from the get-go. They're working towards something the whole way through. They're not just trying to graduate and be the ace. They've already graduated. They're already sort of, they have an idea of who's the best and whatever else. And Hangman's really number one. Rooster is, but he's lacking the balls, if you want to call it that, to follow through on some stuff. So I liked all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, again, the first one where it's just like, out of the blue, scramble, we have a mission for you. Like, what the fuck?
Okay. I thought that was fine.
No, this film is way better.
Yeah, plotted this film. And well, they were always on a mission in this film.
Well, no, they'll be moving towards the mission, yeah.
Yeah, whereas the other one is like, oh, by the way, the Russians in their MiG-28s, which is a plane that doesn't exist.
Is that right?
Yeah. Is yeah, whatever. And they just, but they had to have some stakes at the end. It's an 80s film. I'm fine with it.
Good. Right? You're being too kind to that film, and your nostalgia berries are overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Your absolute memory of what the actual film is like. This film is a better film.
Absolutely. I don't disagree. This is, it's made now. It better be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's like, that's it.
I got nothing else. Anything else you want to say, Wayne, before we get to the final score?
I actually think that there were a couple of the things that they did to call back to the original were done in an interesting way. So, for example, original, Tom Cruise sings, "You never close your flaps." By the way, thank God they didn't do a singing scene in this one. I was a little bit scared they'd do that. That would have sucked.
You know I'm always on board with them not doing a singing
scene. Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm glad they didn't do that. So kudos, right? But he basically hooks up or tries to crack on to Kelly McGillis at the bar. Then the next day, Kelly McGillis turns down and he does that thing where he's, oh my God, that's the woman I tracked onto last night. This one, they threw Maverick out of the fucking bar.
Yeah, they hang on that scene too long.
No, but then they come, well, he had to hear the fucking great balls of flaps.
Oh,
so,
God. No, they didn't. Not 76 fucking times.
Yeah, he did. It's fine. So, but then when Tom Cruise walks into the flight room or the briefing room or whatever, and then that fucking hangman's like, oh shit, that's that same moment, but he didn't try and fuck him. He fucked on him. So that just shit like that. They're doing a lot of those things. And it's very like weavy script where they do that. So I quite liked that, man. And by the way, the scene where they all like the dogfight where they're evading the Sams, that was the shit. That looked like fireworks, man.
Told you, man. Told you. That was like, well shot. Was very like, well shot aerial sequences.
So yes, all good. All good.
All right, then. I'm going to give my score first this time as we give our score and final thoughts. Top Gun, Colin Maverick is a superior film to Top Gun. I'm giving this one a 69.
Oh,
dudes.
For fuck, that's nothing. 89.
Whoa!
89, my friend. When you make me feel like I feel when I was a child, you're going to get my votes, you're going to get my money, you're going to get like all kinds of kudos.
89!
89,
ballsy.
Baby.
Stupid, but ballsy.
I love me some Top Gizan, and it did all the things
it
needed to do.
If this film's on your top 10 of the year,
yeah,
I'm going to piss on you.
Yeah, go ahead. Piss on me, bitch. Piss on me. Yeah.
Wow.
I loved it to an 89 out of 100%. That's what it is, man. You know what I'm saying?
I thought my 69 was quite generous, to be honest.
I thought you were.
One last question.
It's at least 70 men.
Which came from the person I took, Christian, friend to the show. He said, surely we live in a day and age now where a fucking, not a drone, but a satellite just comes over the top and goes, bam. End of movie.
I mean, he's seen a lot of Akira, but like, but yes, that you would think so. Although, if I was whoever the enemy country.
They worked really hard to explain that, no, we need two people and shoot this and do whatever else. But still, I'm like, no, a fucking... Well,
the thing is...
Just fire a rocket down there. End of story.
If it was in a cave or something which was over cover, then yes, you couldn't hit it with a satellite. But then I don't know how you'd access it with a fucking fire jet.
Exactly.
Either. So, yeah, good point. But how about this? The opposing army or country has satellite technology that keeps you out of that region.
Maybe some throwaway line to explain that would have been helpful.
Okay, fine. Anyway, but I'm fine with it.
Small thing.
Great film,
everyone.
There we are.
Clearly a great film. 80 fucking 9.
Sounds perfect to me.
Wow.
Come on, people. Who the Top Gun is that?
All right, well, let us know what you thought of Top Gun Colin Maverick, and you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website, which Wayne is going to work on at some eventual point in the future, thecountdownpodcast.com.
What?
Like and follow the show through Podbean, and the Facebook list community is where we discuss all this kind of stuff. Link is in the show notes. Join up and get involved in the fun. Thank you so much for joining us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
89, ridiculous. We'll catch you next time. I should have said, goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I like Righteous Brothers much more.
See ya.